sanctuary, singing unto him, for you, Lord, prepare me to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary before you. Amen, amen. Just make me a sanctuary. That's the main thing. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you like turning your scriptures, turn to Revelations 2. We'll start reading about verse 8 through 11, Revelation 2. Remember now, Bible study will be this coming Saturday, 6 o'clock. So just pray and come and bring your questions and all, and just come to sit down and discuss the message. We always have a good time, you know, fellowshipping together and just talking a couple of hours, kind of inconvenient, you know. Nothing fancy. We don't wear no ties. We don't wear no nothing. We just come dressed normal, you know, kind of normal attire for a day, and just sit down and eat popcorn and talk about the Word. So it's a good time in the Lord. Amen. Just pray one for another on that. Yeah. The Lord willing, we got everything is pretty well in order. So I'm just asking you to pray that if there's anything wrong with us going to Brazil, it's Brother Ernie and myself now that are planning on going, and if there's anything wrong with it, maybe they'll turn us down at the visa applications and all, and then we'll know it's not meant to be. But if not, then the Lord willing, we'll be leaving on the 25th and probably be coming back in about the 7th, I guess. And so just remember 7th of November. So remember that. Just pray everything's all right. Yeah. Revelations 2. Father, we thank you for your love and your grace. We thank you for all things. And Lord, we know that they come freely without any cost whatsoever that we have to put forth. No effort, no nothing but just yielding ourselves unto you. And Father, we thank you for tonight and the opportunity to gather together and to fellowship around thy word. Now just come among us and touch the sick and deliver the downhearted and let your love be made manifest. Because you promised it. You said you would. You sent your word and healed us and delivered us from destruction. And just have your way now and keep us, Lord, and bless and guide in your loving grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember, the Lord willing, Wade will be up at Brother Richard's this weekend preaching for him there. Revelations 2, this is the second church age. We'll just be kind of taking each church age for a little while to deal with the salutation or the message to the church, the revelation, and then dealing with the reward that is given to each age. Right? So we're going to Revelation 2, verse 8. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. So you may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. As I said, we're going to be dealing, or we are dealing, we went through the first church age our Sunday, and we went through the first chapter of Revelations and found some amazing things. So maybe as we go along, the Lord will help us to kind of get a little understanding and just, you know, go on through the word and studying on the book of Revelations. Because like I've told you over and over, the book of Revelation is the bride's book. It's a book written just especially to you and I by the Lord Jesus himself, appearing to a scribe to write it. So then we should be able to read it and understand, you know, and accept it and see and let it be made known unto us the things that God is doing. But we, you know, like we start off in verse 8, we're talking about the salutation or the greeting to the age. And it says there, who is this one, as I told you? If you look in your, if you've got a Scofield Bible or a red letter Bible, you'll see that all of the church ages are written in red letter, which is the Lord Jesus himself speaking personally to John to write down to bring the message to each age. But what does he say? He says, things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. Now, there shouldn't be any doubt whatsoever in our minds who this is that's talking. Because he says, I'm the first and I'm the last. I'm the one that was dead and am alive. See? So then we shouldn't have to worry about it. And we should take it because we're, as I was bringing out the other day, we are glad to go over in like Hebrews 7, you know, and start talking about Melchizedek. Where it says it had no beginning of days, no ending of life, no mother, no father. And we'll quote and say, well, that had to be Almighty God. And we'll say amen to that, you know, because we believe it. But now, what do we believe this is? Is Jesus just a second person? You know. Yeah. Because that's what a lot of people believe today, evidently, because they're making him not God. You know, and saying, well, you know, he become God. Well, evidently something happened by this time on the Isle of Patmos because he's revealing himself as the one who was alive, you know, was dead and then alive. Well, now, Almighty God, the great creator, can't die. We realize that. But also, we should realize, like I was just thinking about it today, because I've mentioned these things before to you, but see, to me, this is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Almighty God talking to John on Patmos. Right, right. Right? Because you'd say, well, now, he was the one that was a dead and is alive. Well, you could relate that to the flesh and the human and the one called Jesus and the going into the ground and the coming back up. But he said he's the first and the last. Right. Right. Now, the same one that said he was dead and alive, said he was the first and the last. All right? See, now we know the story. We know the body was a human element, sure. But just be careful what you do with that. Because they didn't have much trouble back there talking about it. And Brother Branham didn't have a lot of trouble talking about it. You know, as a holding it to one true and living God. And I just run these off if you want to look at them. And we say, well, God can't die. Well, did Christ die? Now, I'll give you time to think a minute about it. Did Christ die? Well, according to Romans 5 and verse 6, said Christ died. Romans 5 and verse 8 said Christ died. Romans 14 and verse 15 said Christ died. 1 Corinthians 8 and 11 said Christ died. 1 Corinthians 15 and 3 said Christ died. Well, see, Paul didn't have any trouble with talking about it or saying that Christ died. Well, who is this then that's talking on the Isle of Patmos to John? The Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, who is he? He's Almighty God. His soul was the very soul of God. The Spirit was the Spirit in sundry times and divers manner that spake in the Old Testament prophets. And his body was a creation by the Word. So that by the time he comes to Patmos, then he's fully eternal in all forms. But he didn't have any trouble saying, I was at one time dead. But now I'm alive. But he said, now, I am the first, and I'm the last. So that wouldn't be any trouble. He doesn't have any trouble relating himself to, you know, talking the way he talked. But yet we think we're so smart by saying, oh, but my God can't die. Well, Brother Branham's the one that said your God died.
Amen.
So you're going to argue with him.
Right.
Of course, you're going to say he was wrong there. You know, well, that's your choice. That's, you know, it's up to you. But what I'm saying is, to the overcomer. Now, I know now I'm going to have to flop backwards, all right? So bear with me. To the overcomer, he gets the reward for overcoming. And how is it that you overcome? By being in Jesus Christ. Because he's the one that overcome. All right. Now, but the salutation is the revelation of the deity of Jesus Christ given unto that age. All right, you remember that? Now the salutation is the revelation, the greetings. Read it in the church age book where the prophet of. I've encouraged you to read the church age book. I know a lot of people don't like the church age book, but I can't find anything wrong with it. I know they told me there was 17 or 30 something different things in it that was all messed up. Well, nobody hasn't yet produced one. To me now, they may have to you, but they haven't to me. It just hadn't been produced, so that's all right. If they'll produce it, then I'll take it. But not just something you say, well, he said this, and he said, no. Just show it to me that it's wrong. That's all right. You know, even the man, as I told you before, the man that actually edited it, you know, and put it in form, he didn't even understand his own self, what was being said. The prophet told him, put it in there like it was. Yeah. He said himself, he wished he'd have never, I heard him or wouldn't say it. Said, I wish I'd have never put that in there. But he said, Bill told me to. Well, I'm going to take Bill. Right? You know, I ain't going to worry about it, right? Because he had some reason for telling. But now listen. It says, I am the one that was dead. But now I'm alive. I'm the one that had no beginning and I had no ending. That's the salutation, the greeting, the revelation. All right. Now here's my point, and I'll prove it when I get over it in a minute. Because we've been through this before years ago. But see, each age inherits a revelation of the deity of Jesus Christ. Okay? Because that's what the salutation, the greeting is. It's a revelation of sevenfold glory of his person we just got through. And see, then each age gets a revelation of his deity. All right? So then, this is not written to just one. You know, we say, oh, that was to that church age. That was to this church age. No, we better read it that everything in there applies to us. All right? Because we want the sevenfold glory, right? Now, Paul in Colossians wrote a letter to the Laodiceans. Let me make sure you get it correctly where anybody on the tape would look. He didn't write a tape. He said, give this to the Laodiceans. You know, he wrote it to the Colossians and told the Laodiceans to read it. All right. Now, that's my whole point tonight. When God gives something to a church age, it's not just for that church age only. It's to every believer. See? Every believer inherits it all. Alright? So then in the end time, we get the revelation of sevenfold glory, the entire revelation of each church age.
Amen.
See, that's what a lot of people say. Well, this is not for this and this is not for that, because that was for the tabernacle, because the prophet said he's preaching to the tabernacle. No, it was for you and I.
Amen.
You know. It's for us. And once God gives a revelation, he never takes away the revelation. All right? Now, people may lose that. It may have been a time they didn't understand one true and living God. But that didn't change God. And it didn't change what he was writing to the age. Because they're Trinitarians over in the sixth one when we get over to there. And that's where you start talking about five and six and all. You start talking about the pillar and the temple and new name and all kind of things. But just get the point of what I'm trying to say tonight, then later on it'll help you. That what is written in the Bible is written to you. Alright? So when Paul wrote a letter, see, he wrote to the Corinthians, the first church age, as I said there Sunday, the first church age, the letter to the first church age is written. Did the first church age just get one or two words? No, the first church age got the entire message of the Apostle Paul delivered to them from the Colossians, the Ephesians, the Philippians, the Corinthians, to the Romans. That's the first church age letter. And it's not very much captured or kept in between there and now. A few books and a few things and enough to keep a lineup. But then in the last church age, we get every message. We've got the 1,100 and something sermons of the prophet to come to you and I. That's a great thing to me that God thought enough to bring it back in the end to give us. Not just like Brother Moat used to talk about it. They'd go up to the tabernacle. He said one time they heard Brother Brown say that there Adam and Eve walked out of the garden. Well, it bothered him. And it was a while before he heard another tape that Brother Brown said, but they had a sacrifice for that went out. Alright, see, the prophet's message is the message to this age. Right. And that's why it says, now watch the point of what I'm getting. That's why it says to the churches. Alright? Now, it is speaking to the true vine and the false vine. Right. And they're listed as churches. That's fine. But the main point of what's to the churches is the revelation to each church age of the deity of Jesus Christ, and we get the entire revelation of it. See? Each age gets the revelation, and God just keeps building and building and building. Alright? See, then it winds up in our age, do we get the entire thing? But don't think of a church age who's just isolated and just getting a message. Don't even think about the overcomer. Because everything that the first church age listed as the overcomer, we get. Everything of the second church age, third church age, fourth, fifth, sixth. See? We get that as a reward. See? It's for everybody. Alright, but now watch. When we get there now for the reward, then the first church age, the people, we'll hear what you have to say about what was revealed to you in this age. So it'll be a wonderful chance to be there and sit down and listen to, you know, the bride of Christ in the end time when she begins to expound upon what God has revealed to her. And Paul will say, I know I saw it. I saw something about that, but it wasn't clear in my day. Now you're making it clear here. See? You understand what I'm saying? When we go down through the endless eternities, the prophet said we'd be getting a message of cheer. We're not going to heaven and just sit up there and play harps, you know. You musicians would have it on it because nobody wouldn't want to be in my... They put me in a cubicle. You know. They put me over somewhere. I'd be like Brother Branham. I'd be way down in a valley somewhere because nobody wouldn't want to hear me play a harp. But see, it's not that way. When we get there, it's going to be an eternal receiving of the glorious revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. But see, each age receives the revelation here. And then each one of those ages, when they get there, like I'm showing, trying to get you to see, Paul will come and say, tell me about what you saw. Tell me about the revelation. Because maybe I heard maybe a little bit about this and a little bit about that. You know, Paul never did call it the Antichrist. He called it grievous wolves and stuff like that. John was the only one in the Bible that ever called it the Antichrist. And that was after he had been to Patmos and come back in the Little Johns. It was written after the AD 95-96. But see, that's my whole point I want you to see. Don't read the church ages and try to figure out that that was their revelation. Read it for God to speak to you. All right, that was what I was trying to get at there when we were talking about in verse 1 of chapter 2 there, where it talks about that holdeth the seven stars in his hand. That's just as wonderful to me. That's as great to me as it is to anybody, anywhere. Why? Because that's what I believe he's doing. I see the revelation that he's holding those seven stars in his right hand. But see, the reason I see that is because of the one God I see down here. Now, if I saw a Trinitarian idea, I wouldn't care which hand it was in. Because I'd agree that he'd have two hands if I was Trinitarian. But the way it is, it just talks of his right hand. Because that's power and authority. We know the story. All right? But get the point now, what I'm saying. See, to this age it says that the one that was dead and is now alive, the one that was the beginning and has no ending. So it's a revelation of the deity of Jesus Christ. See, given to each age. And then each age can pull from that. See? Maybe at the time, as I said, when this was written of the first church age, they didn't know anything about this. Maybe. Because it wasn't written until Paul was already dead when the message come forth. But the message that came forth was the message he'd preached. Don't you think he had a shouting good time in glory when he looked down and seen that? And he looked down and seen John writing the message to the first church age. They said he holdeth the stars in his right hand. Don't you think he was standing there saying, I saw that. That's who I was talking about. Won't it be a glorious time to get there where we can all sit down and talk about what God has revealed? Because once God reveals something, he doesn't take it back. You have added, but not added revelation, which is contrary, but you have more understanding brought upon the revelation. But you never lose the revelation. So there he stood in the first church age as the one with the stars in his hand. Now in the second church age, we see him as the one that was dead and alive. The everlasting, the almighty, all true and living God. You read those messages that was given to the age, and you get over especially to Luther and Wesley and them, and you'll realize that maybe they didn't get that way it was. You know, they wouldn't have been Trinitarians if they'd have got it the way that God was trying to reveal it to them, right? But they got it in an earnest, you know, a partial realization, all right? But in the end time, when it's all over with and we go to our reward, we can sit down and show the reward because the reward relates to the revelation. That's why in the seventh one, see, the beginning of the creation of God. And what is the overcomer? To sit with me in my throne as I've overcome and sit with my Father in his throne. See? The message to the age relates to the reward that is received. All right. See, then I want all the rewards. Amen. I'm not due any of them. Right? We're not due any of them because we don't honor. We've not made it ourselves. But I still want all the rewards. Amen. Well, I want all of the revelations, don't you? Amen. It would tickle me to death tonight for some way that the Apostle Paul could come here and be able to tell us what he saw in his day. Wouldn't it to you? Brother Dick likes to deal about his old age and how he begins to feel, and he'd like to go back and talk to Grandma how she felt when she was 70. Why? He's wanting to know about how she felt. Well, when we get over there, we can talk to each other about what we see. Because everybody doesn't get it on the same level. There are levels of revelation. Right? But yet it will not, the earnest won't deny the head. And neither will the head claim it don't need the earnest. Because it's a revelation of his deity. So get that. That's the point of what I want you to see for tonight. When you're studying the church ages and reading them, look at the salutation, the greetings, the revelation that's given. Then look at the reward that's given. And find yourself. Now remember, chapter 1, we found ourselves already sitting on the white throne with him. That's a way over past the millennium, right? He shows us all the way to there. You remember how I kept expounding on that? That he shows us all the way past there before he ever starts telling us what's going to happen on the earth in what is known as the ages then. Now in the ages, we're seeing what takes place. First age, it said you left your first love. They begin to drift. Alright? Now you want scriptures like this? I was sitting there thinking today about it and thinking about that point, you know. And see people that say, no, the first church age, it didn't drift away. Well, Paul said, John said you've left your first love. Paul said, Galatians 3, I think it is, verse 1. He said, oh, foolish Galatians, tell me ye that desire to be under the law. Rebuking them. For what? Getting away from the first love. The whole Corinthians, you know, 1 and 2 is a book of corrections for people that were supposed to be born again. So Paul's message was there. He rebuked them for getting away from their first love. So he said, you Galatians, said, have you started in the Spirit? And then wind up, I believe it's the one in Galatians, where you started in the Spirit and you wound up being trying to be perfect or something in the flesh. See, that was the message given. See, then the second church age was to take Paul's message. See, what was sent to them, the message to the second church age, couldn't be contrary to what was given to Paul in the first church age. See, so who is this here? This is the one Paul was talking about. The Lord Jesus Christ. Coming to John to show him the future. So we went up to the white throne and all in chapter 1. Now you've dropped back down to an earthly journey. You find that in your seals because you go 1, 2, 3, 4. You drop back. We go into rapture on the 4th. But then we see the 5th, 6th, and the 7th. But you drop back when you start in the in there, even though the seals are not even to us, they're to Israel. But we drop back and see where they come from. Because that's what God is doing. You understand what I'm trying to get you to see? Now, Paul's message was written down. Right? And delivered there. You can read it in the Bible. So the prophet said, even at the Pentecost was the standard, right? Now come on, you read your church age book, you know what I'm saying. Pentecost was the standard that each church age was to try to pattern after. But he said Paul was the first messenger and that all messengers was to pattern after Paul. So then the church that comes to, when you come to Smyrna, second church age, what were they being done? Rebuked from getting away from Paul's message. What was each one of those church age messengers trying to bring? Didn't the prophet say each church age come forth with a messenger rebuking the previous age from getting away from the message of that age? Well, see, what was they using? Paul's message. What did Brother Branham use? Paul's message. You got to get to the faith of the fathers before you can go into the prophet's message of the seals and the marriage and divorce and the Things like that. You've got to go in the correct channel. But see, here now we read in the second church age of a revelation of the deity of Jesus Christ. But remember now, you got to compare that with Paul. So then this one that was dead and is alive. This one had no beginning and no end. It's the same one in in the first church age that was saying he was holding the stars in his hand. So you got something to build it on. When you get over to Revelation, 3:14, the beginning of the creation of God. See, put that back into the Bible. Put that back to the message of the first church. Because you got a standard to go by. It's not something that you just got each age gets a message. Well, all that Paul needed to worry about was what his age was, and Irenaeus needed to worry about his age, and Columba and all this, Martin, they just worried about their age. No, every one of them, each church age messenger, Brother Brown said that was how he picked the messengers, or the Holy Spirit did. He said because it was the one that was related the closest to Paul's message. Read your church age book. Even though Martin Luther come along, a Trinitarian, sitting in a pub drinking beer and talking about the Bible, but yet the message of the just shall live by faith went right back to the Apostle Paul, because it had its foundation in the Bible. That's the point I want you to see. Then when you read it, it'll give you an understanding. Because then you won't be trying to figure out what this is and what that is. All right? So let's just read these, and then I'll get back to the overcomer part in a second. Look at what it gave you on the... what the prophet had to say. Go down to number 2 on your notes, number 2 on your... which is page 133 of the Church Age book. The reward for overcoming. Revelation 2:11. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. All right, now watch. Now once again the Spirit is speaking to all the ages. This message is to comfort us today, even as it has comforted our brother of all the other ages. Now read that again. Now, once again, the Spirit is talking to all the ages. This message is to comfort us today, even as it had comforted our brethren of all the other ages. Don't isolate an age and just say that was to them. And he says to us that the second death will not hurt us. We'll get back to that in a minute, but let's just stay on this point. Look at number 3, which is 97 in the Church Age book. Now notice it says that the Spirit is speaking to the churches. That is plural, not singular. Right, now watch him. The Spirit did not have John write this down for a local Ephesian church, nor for the first age only. It is for all church ages. But this is the church of beginnings. And thus it is like the book of Genesis. What started in Genesis holds true throughout the entire word and finally closes out in Revelation. Thus this church beginning in Acts, because that's the foundation of the church at Ephesus, the book of Acts. Thus this church beginning in Acts is God's blueprint for all ages until she comes out in the Laodicean age. Watch it carefully. Let every age take heed. For what is going on here is only the start. That little tree that was planted is going to grow. It is going to grow through the ages. This then is a message for every Christian through every age until Jesus comes. Yes, it is, for it is the Spirit speaking. Amen. See, don't isolate it. Go right on down. Hidden Life, preached 1955, 10:06 a.m. Now remember, only believers, only the elect comes into that God has chosen you. I believe that in Revelations 2 said, he that overcometh. So it is promised to overcomers. He said, I overcome smoking. That ain't what he's talking about. There's a whole lot more goes to Christianity besides not smoking cigarettes or drinking whiskey. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. Now that's Revelations 21 verse 7. He that overcometh will inherit all things. See, and he is my son, and I will be his God. And listen, and I'll give him the hidden manna. That's on over in the other ages, right? And he shall be my son, I'll be his God. And listen, I will give him of the hidden manna. Amen. I will hide him away. I will give him the hidden things, the world on the outside of the curtain don't know nothing about. Hallelujah. Though they ate manna, but they don't know about this. I will give to him the hidden manna. I will give him a stone with his name in it. You get what I mean? Entering to adoption or the hidden place with God. Now, adoption is in this age. So don't put it back in the other age. All right? Now watch this one. How can I overcome? Preach 1963, 8:25 a.m. He's reading, him that overcometh, though I make a pillar in the temple of my God. That's on over about the fifth or sixth church age. And he shall go no more out, and I'll write upon him my name, the name of God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from God. And I will write upon him my new name. Watch what the overcomers promised. See? Now, Laodicea, that's the last church age. There's going to be some overcomers in there. Watch that. They remember each church age, the one preceding it, inherits all that the other ones was offered. Now, preceding means coming before. Right? See, that sounds like it ought to be turned the other way. But just remember what I said. One day, in glory, Brother Gary, Paul will understand what you understand. One day, in glory, he may have preceded us. He will inherit the same thing you inherit. Paul will one day get exactly what you understand. He may not have understood the Son of Man, as I've told you, because he didn't talk about him. But one day he will. But it'll be at your lips because you have overcome. But the main point I'm wanting you to see is the one thing. See? The one preceding it inherits all that the other ones were watching. Now here's after they've done received all these powers, their names and things like that, because this is the last age coming up. That's what he's doing there, you know, it's coming up to the last. But listen, the point I want you to see is that each age will have the same revelation in eternity. In eternity, we will all see him as he is. We may have problems here of understanding. Like I said, when we get over to the church that Luther, and you read it there, it doesn't look like he understood that. But he got what he could. But one day he will. The preceding age inherits. So Paul will inherit what the second church age receives. Third church age receives. Fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh church age. All right? It may be eternity before he receives it. Because it may be eternity before we receive the thing. The prophet speaking of the new name there. He said it may be when we get there is when it'll be made known. Of course, I've got a little something on that. So you better tie together what you see down on earth first. Because remember, if you didn't get it tied right on earth, it ain't going to be right in heaven. We ain't going to sit up there and try to tell Paul about two souls. And seven thunder virtues and Perusias and River Jordan doctrines. Amen. I think the people that are going to try to explain that might be somewhere else. And I don't mean to be nasty. I just mean to be truthful. Because it's the revelation of His deity we're talking about. Not our revelation of His deity. It's His revelation. And when we get there, Paul will say, tell me about it. I am now to receive my inheritance. Because he didn't go to a full inheritance. Come on, Paul went to the grave. Paul went to the grave. He never received a full inheritance. Irenaeus, Martin, Columba, Luther, Wesley, they never received a full inheritance because they never received a body change. But someday they'll receive a change, but it'll be because of you. Because Hebrews 11:40 says, they without us cannot be made perfect. But when we get to heaven, that's what I'm wanting you to see. They may not understand. Brother Brown said they'll raise. One time he's talking something like this. He said each one of those people down through there in the time will raise into youth of hurt where they are. In other words, a revelation of where they are. Martin Luther, when he raises in the resurrection, he'll be coming forth there. He said, the just shall live by faith. This is what I was talking about. I might have just seen it in an earnest, but now I'm experiencing it in its fullness. And see, we can't deny that. That's why the prophet said, you got to get back to the faith of the fathers. See? This is not added revelation which is contrary to the faith of the fathers, the message in the end time. It's just more explaining things they couldn't understand. Things they couldn't attain unto for their day will be attained unto in this day. And it's because that we have, and when we get on over there in the church age, you'll see that they took the word and went back to the foundation. You got to take it and go back to the Bible with it. That's why I don't get, I'm not trying to be smart, I'm just trying to tell you the truth. That's why that I haven't been caught by all these false doctrines. Why? It's because I wanted to see it in the Bible and couldn't find it. Alright. I searched it out with the message, yes. But I took it back to the Bible. To see if the Bible taught it that way. Yeah, but you don't know what the Bible says until you hear the prophet. Amen. So that's what I said. I checked it out with the prophet and the Bible. I checked, Sister Gail, what I've seen by the Bible. Because that was the foundation I already had. I don't mean I had the faith of Father, but I had the foundation of reading the Bible. Because when I was back there in organized religion in the Baptist church, we were all, everybody is supposed to read the Bible 2 or 3 times a year, you know. We got stars and we got rewards for reading it a good bit. But you couldn't turn over those so-and-so begot so-and-so and so-and-so and begot so-and-so and say, I read the Bible except for chapter so-and-so. No, they wouldn't give you a reward. You didn't get your star. You had to read all of them too. But you see, I had a good head knowledge of the Word. Believed in one true and living God, but couldn't explain it except God in three persons, Blessed Trinity. But I knew there was no three gods I saw standing in that Baptist church when I was about 11 years old. There wasn't no three gods there. There was one God. There wasn't no three gods following me when Brother Moat would start talking to me about the Word. And I'd get out and walk up to my house, walking up through there with somebody walking beside of me, more present than any of you sitting here. See, I knew that one God was coming to me. But it's because He's the Word. But listen, do you understand what I'm saying? Every church age will eventually inherit whatever other church age had. That's my whole point. That's why the title, Brother Al, is To All Overcomers. This is number 12. to all overcomers. The other was the overcomer. This is to all overcomers. It's just not ending just because Luther caught the just shall live by faith. That doesn't end that for him. That just put him in a place to beginning. We get over on that other side, we've got a lot to talk about. But see, the way everybody thinks about it, you know, when we get up to heaven, oh, we'll know everything. Well, why would you get a message to cheer down through the endless ages if you knew everything? Come on, be sensible with what you're thinking. See? There won't be any hindrance to the revelation. There won't be any carnal mind. But we'll have a wonderful time sitting around talking about. You realize we've been preaching 2,000 years on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And haven't exhausted it yet. 2,000 years you've been preaching about. 2,000 years you've been trying to see one true and living God, Brother Mark, and it finally come down the end time that we have the ability to receive it and understand it. Sure, I know it's not clear a lot of time. I know that because we're in the human element. Sometimes I can see it as clear as just as clear as a crystal. If I could put that into words, what I see sometimes, you know, I believe we just walk out the door and going up into glory. But about the time I get here to try to explain it, you know, to explain what I see, I can't see it then like I even wrote the notes on it and come here and can't explain it. Because that's the human element. And the time-wise and things. But my point, you get it? When we get there, when we go into glory, it's going to be all of the deity of Jesus Christ that goes into glory. And it'll be all the overcomers. You're an overcomer. Remember when I was trying to explain? You're an overcomer when you receive the new birth. That makes you an overcomer and puts you in the body of Christ for the age that you're in. But then there's some of, in those ages, it has to go on to a revelation to bring the others. And see, that's why it says to him that overcometh. And on this second age here, it says you'll not be heard of the second death. Now what was the first one? First, what did we learn back then? We're not going to have to go to the white throne, right? Why? Because we're going to sit in that throne with him judging. Why? Because we're already judged ourselves here by accepting Jesus Christ. All right? That's why you won't be heard of the second death. So that's what it says there, and it won't be, what is it, verse 11. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. What is the second death? Turn over to Revelations. What is it? I got to read 20. Turn over to Revelation 20. What is the second death? 20 and verse 14. Talks about verse 13 and how this is the judgment, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged, etc. Sea gave up the dead which were in them, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. Now death and hell, remember, delivered up, verse 13, the dead which were in them. So it's everybody standing there. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Now death and hell is cast into the lake of fire. Why? Why are you going to put it in the lake of fire? To consume it. Right? There's no such thing as an eternal hell. I gave you the quote there on the start with. Go read the church age book for the second church age. There's no such thing as an eternal hell. There's no such thing as a Hades that we've got to go to be purged to be able to go to heaven. No. No such thing in the Bible. So what is the second death? Death and hell is cast into the lake of fire. Do you want to make this? Now watch my point. Do you make the lake of fire the second death? Well, that's what... No, no, listen to what I'm saying. The second death is to annihilate. That's annihilation. That's of the soul. This comes to a position to where there's no such thing as an eternal hell. Because one day it's going to be annihilated. And the prophet said then it's dealing with everlasting and not eternal. Because simple, plain language, you'd have to have eternal life if you went to hell and burned eternally. That's simple for us. But see, people say, well, the lake of fire is the second death. No, the annihilating of the soul in the lake of fire. See, Jehovah's Witness do not teach even an eternal hell. They know whether you know that or not, but they don't. They don't teach an eternal hell. Talk to them about it. But they teach you just like a piece of paper and you throw it in the fire and you burn up. But the prophet said you could burn for trillions of trillions of trillions of years. But he said one day you'll be annihilated. What is the second death? The annihilating of the soul. The bringing of a soul to the condition of non-existent. It's not just to say the lake of fire. The lake of fire is symbolic. It's fire. Fire consumes. So this second age gives a promise to the overcomer that you won't have to be annihilated. Because you're already born again. You've already overcome by being in Jesus Christ. And the second death then is the death of the soul. When that soul is annihilated in the lake of fire. Well, then somewhere when the life soul is annihilated, the lake of fire would have to be annihilated. Right? Because you couldn't have an eternal fire. I know we had a lot of trouble with that when I was in the Baptist church, didn't you? Where you come from before you come in the message? Because we'd read where the worm dieth not and all these things. But see, then when it comes to the point of the prophet explaining it, the very simple illustration that you'd have to have eternal life. And God's the only one that has eternal life. So then the promise to the second church age, which is the promise to, now listen, the promise to every born-again believer, not just the second age, but to every born-again believer, the promise is, we don't have to go to the lake of fire. Death and hell gives up what's in it. See, we're scared of something that doesn't exist. We're scared of a burning hell. That's what you're going to burn in hell. And then the Catholics, you know, they tell them, well, you know, mama's down there and she's in purgatory. Because the Catholic believes everybody goes to purgatory. Of course, this last Pope died. He was so good, he just made a whistle stop. You know, he done got back out. I mean, they elevated him in a hurry. He probably never even got warm enough to realize things went wrong, did he? I'm not making light of him. I'm just telling you what we used to believe. Because that's what we used to believe. No, I didn't believe it that way. You believe what the Catholic Church taught, that hell was eternal. Come on, didn't you believe that? You believe hell was eternal. If you did, that's a Catholic doctrine. That's not in the Bible. Right. You say, yeah, but it says there where the worm died. No. It's not going to die until a certain point of consuming. But one day it'll be consumed. All right, here's one to profit. Let's see if I can remember. The Son of Righteousness arrives with healing in his wing. He said, see there? He's using Malachi 4. He said, see there? There can't be no eternal hell. There can't be an eternal hell because Malachi 4 says it can't be. But listen, church, you understand what I'm saying? Each age inherits the reward to this age. We inherit the reward to the first church age. What was it? The reward to the first church age was to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. That's not just for that age. That's for me. That's for me. See? The tree of life is Jesus Christ. I get that. But I get what everybody else gets. Because everybody gets the same reward. They get Jesus Christ. See? So that's what we're going to be dealing with the church ages now. See? Comparing it and seeing what we get. To see what we get what they got. Whatever was to that age is to me if I receive it. The reward is to me if I receive it. The revelation is to me if I receive it. Because you don't get the reward until you get the revelation. The revelation and what you do with the revelation determines your reward. See? All right. Do you understand what I'm trying to bring to you? See? It puts all of us. See, the Spirit is talking to all the ages. To the churches. Don't just make that as true and false vine. Make that it's the same Holy Spirit, because there's a whole chapter in the church age book where the prophet talks about the Holy Spirit in every church age. Because that's where we're living at. We're down at the time now until we can inherit all things. And the ones that preceded us, the ones that went before us, will receive what we receive. Maybe in glory before they get it. Because it's not going to require that to bring them up. What requires them is for them to overcome in the age they received it. Whatever they done with the word of the age they were in determines their reward. But then when we all get there, did all of us have the same reward? Because as I said, Revelation 21, verse 7 says, to him that overcometh will inherit all things. All things. Nobody's left out. Nobody's left out. This may take a while. May take a glory to come to a position to where we can understand it. May take an eternity down through the endless times of the ages of eternity. Because how can you express it? But we'll all be sitting around talking about it. Paul will say, I saw that. I tried to express it. The best I could do was say grievous wolves. Because I couldn't understand about it being Antichrist. I didn't know those words. But you see, as it keeps unfolding, we keep inheriting. But what I like about it, before this bride leaves here, now this is the last point, before this bride leaves here, our inheritance is going to be here. We're not going to glory to get an inheritance. Sure, we'll be glad to hear Paul talk about it. Sure, we'll be glad to hear it because we won't know everything. I ain't saying that, but I'm saying this much. The bride becomes the fullness of the Godhead bodily, the prophet said. That's on the unveiling of God, and the mighty God unveiled. She becomes the fullness of the Godhead bodily. She becomes the revelation of Miss Jesus right here. So we inherit everything in this age. And while we're here alive, we get that. See, we see what Paul saw. You understand? We see what Irenaeus saw, what Martin saw, Columba, Luther, Wesley. And the prophet in the end time bringing it to us. We see what they saw. That's our reward. Right here. Because the Son of Man's reward is this age. Then going into the millennium. Going on into the millennium from here. That's where we go. Think on these things. To all overcomers, we get the same thing. Come on, brother boy. We get the same revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. It may take them a while before they can receive theirs, but we're receiving ours now. By the opening of the Word, we're receiving the revelation of Jesus Christ. Right here upon earth. Living here. In a glorious opportunity. A great revelation of God's Word. What do you think about it? Let's stand. What do you think about it? See, in the Bible, that way becomes a reality to you. That it's speaking to you. And when you read the things of the Bible, you won't be reading it like it's for somebody else. You'll be reading it like it's for you. I want to be in that paradise of God, don't you? I want to know about the tree of life, don't you? I want to know about the hidden manna. I want to know about all the things. And we receive that here. Because we're the last. You may not like it, but it's true. The best is saved for the last. You got a marathon running race. You don't put your best runner in the first. Even though he may get ahead, somebody's going to stumble and fall in between. Your best runner's last. Your fastest runner, the longest, the best is last. Why? Because if you're behind when it comes there, he's got to take it up. So God has saved the best to last. We may not look like it, but I'm glad it's not on what I look like. I'm glad it's on what he said. Go ahead. Number four in the black notebook. Was the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are before worship. Come, just as you are before your God. Come. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose Him. That's something, isn't it? One day they'll receive it. But we receive it now. We get the revelation of His deity. The sevenfold glory of His person is revealed. Come, just as you are before. Come, just as you are before your God. Come. One day every knee will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. It's a great song, isn't it? Come. It's a great song for the hour we're living, isn't it? Someday they'll receive, but we receive ours now. If we could just see what we're doing. If we could just see what we're doing. Anybody have a need? Heart, Lord, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Do you? I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart. Believe it. Believe it. Go on. Amen. Holy, holy, holy. Anybody else? Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see. The prophet said when you're seeing the Word, you're seeing Jesus. When you're seeing the words, you're seeing Jesus.
I want to see.
Anybody else have a need?
I want to see.
What do you want to see him? See you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy. Amen.
I am lifted up, shining in the light of your glory.
Pour out your power and love. Just want a prayer cloth for somebody at work. Let's just believe. And let's see. Father, we send this prayer cloth in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the one we spoke of tonight. And Lord, we expect hear the results in Jesus' name. Amen. Just go believe in it.
Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart.
I want to see. I want to see.
Do you? When you see the Word, you're seeing Jesus.
Amen.
What are we expecting to see?
Amen.
But we inherit all things. Right here.
Amen.
We get our inheritance.
Amen.
While we're alive. Others died and will go and receive their inheritance. But we get our inheritance while we're alive. What is the inheritance of the last day? A change of the body. A complete revelation of the deity of Jesus Christ. And the reward is a change of the body for this age. Wonderful thing, isn't it?
Long breather for our walk in this world. Now with God's own heart, let the Word of God in our heart. Word of God, give the strength, help us.
46 in this book.
The Word of God,
God.
God ever true, changing me, changing you. We have come with open heart, so let the word of God impart. Words of our faith handed down to this age came to us. That's those ages as they brought it. Words of God, word of God ever true, changing me, changing you. We have come with open heart, oh let the word of God impart. Oh God ever true, changing me, changing you. We have come open heart, oh let the word of God impart. Sing it live. Holy words, long preserved for our walk. Somebody went ahead of us. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the word of God impart. Word of God, you're dismissed. Just sing that unto him as you're leaving. Changing me, changing.